Here's Sam Sandel and his dear family, and they are missionaries to Cameroon, and we've invited them to come in and give a presentation of the work that God's doing in and through their family. And so we're going to begin here. I'm going to with prayer, and then we're going to go right into the presentation video, and then Brother Sandlin's going to come up and give us an introduction to himself, his family, and what God's doing with his ministry. So let's pray together, shall we? Father, we do love you, and we're thankful for your grace. We're thankful, Lord, to be in your house. And Lord, we're thankful to know you, that you are a wonderful Savior to me. I love the song. I love the personalizing of that song, Lord, because truly, we each one of us need to have a relationship with you. And so, Lord, I'm thankful that we have that relationship with you through your Son. And Lord, we're thankful that we can meet together, and we can rejoice, and we can be encouraged. And Lord, we're just thankful for you. And Lord, we pray that you would bless our Sunday school hour. Thank you for Brother Sanderlin and his dear family being here with us. And thank you for our guests that came in, Lord, that are friends of Brother Sanderlin, Lord. And I just pray that you would use this presentation, Lord, and the life, the ministry that you've given to him and his heart for missions and heart for to obey the will of God in his life. And Lord, I just pray that that would be an encouragement and an impact to us, Lord, an influence on us, that likewise, Lord, we would follow, be willing to follow you, whatever you would have us to do. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's go into our video.
Bonjour, je m'appelle Elena. J'aime les cheveux.
Bonjour, je m'appelle Elias. Je suis 11 ans.
Bonjour, je m'appelle Chloe. J'aime la chatte.
Bonjour, je m'appelle Caitlin. I like cats and four.
I enjoy assisting my husband in raising our children for the Lord in Cameroon. Each day brings blessings as well as challenges as we adjust to a different country. We are thankful we can be led by His Spirit through the Word of God while living far away in another language and culture. One of my ministries is working with the ladies and children. I teach Sunday school each week, assisted by the ladies in the church. I have also enjoyed discipling and encouraging some of the new believers.
We are the Sanderlin family, serving our Lord Jesus Christ in Cameroon, Africa. We have been sent to the mission field through Wildwood Baptist Church, which is located in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. Praise the Lord for this beacon of gospel light in America that has been shining strong for over 50 years. Wildwood has many missionary ministries, one of which we are a part. Wings as Eagles Mission Air Service was founded in 1984 by Brother Bob Warner. Today, the ministry is directed by Brother Terry Rushing. Over the years, the Wings ministry has transported more than 1,400 people to the mission field in their aircraft, helping others see the need firsthand to go into all the world with the gospel. We are very thankful for the support of Wildwood Baptist Church and Wings as Eagles as we serve the Lord in Cameroon. The Lord called us to serve with Wings as Eagles, and then in Cameroon, shortly after Abby and I were married in 2005. Long before we ever met, the Lord had burdened both of our hearts to serve the Lord on the mission field. I remember as a young boy believing the Lord was speaking to me about Africa. It was during a service in our church that a missionary from a country in Africa was reporting how the Lord was using he and his wife to reach souls for Christ. I've enjoyed fulfilling childhood dreams of flying and preaching on the African continent. Cameroon is known as Africa in miniature, and is truly a diverse country in need of the timeless message of salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone. Cameroon is an average-sized country for Africa, and geographically about the same size as the state of California. It is divided into 10 regions, two of which are English-speaking, and eight of which are French-speaking. It is the only African nation that officially recognizes both English and French. There are over 250 tribal dialects, and the language we largely minister in is Pidgin English, a trade language widely spoken in two regions. We are slowly becoming familiar with another major language called Fofolde, which is spoken by the Fulani tribe and who are predominantly Muslim in their religious beliefs. In Cameroon, every day you meet Muslims, which make up about a third of the religious groups in Cameroon. Daily you will also meet Catholics, Presbyterians, Baptists, Charismatics, and a host of other Christian and non-Christian groups that make up another third of the religious groups. Traditional Africa religion still dominates the minds of up to a third of the country's people, and even in many churches allow their members to participate in the old religious ways. Cameroon's population is around 20 million souls, the vast majority of which are under the age of 20, and which have no clear understanding of the gospel. Upon arriving in Cameroon in April of 2009, there were several immediate opportunities for service. First, while looking for and later fixing a house for our family, we stayed for 5 months with a Tom Needham family, high in the mountains of Sabga. The Needhams have been serving the Lord and planting churches in Cameroon for over 20 years. Tom began transitioning me to fly the Glassstar airplane that we were purchasing from him for our ministry. Flying in Cameroon is not like flying in Wisconsin. Soon after arriving in Cameroon, I also had the opportunity to trek deep into the mountains and jungle with National Church planter Manju Felix. We trekked for 2.5 days to reach some of the 99 Akoya villages. I was able to teach the Word of God to a group of men for 3 days before trekking back out to civilization. The Lord used this trip to show me firsthand the need for our airplanes in Cameroon. I have since flown many times back into the Akoya region to assist Pastor Felix and teach believers the Word of God. While staying with the Needham family, Abby and I began outreach 10 miles away in the town where we soon located and which has become our home for the last several years. We have since planted an independent Baptist church with the help of a national family. Chrysanthus and Valise relocated from their village to move to the town of Indop to help us start Believers Baptist Church. Chrysanthus and other nationals had been faithful sowing the seed of the Word of God in preparation for the planting of this church. We praise the Lord for the many who have responded to the gospel call and for those who have followed the Lord in believers' baptism. When the Needhams left for a short furlough in 2010, I began filling in for his flying outreach in Akoya. The Lord proved His grace is sufficient for flying as well as preaching. I began regular flights over the mountains that I had previously crossed on foot. Being the lifeline for Pastor Felix and his new bride has been a highlight for my service in aviation. From Oshkosh, Wisconsin, Wings as Eagle specializes in flying pastors and church members to the mission field. We do the same thing in Cameroon by transporting pastors and their people across their own country to see the needs of those outside the reach of a road. Some Cameroonians have expressed sincere amazement and concern as they have been transported to help their fellow countrymen in need. Praise the Lord for this opportunity to help give Cameroonian Christians a vision for souls in their own mission field. Other opportunities in flying include transporting government personnel, teachers, students, and medical patients in distress or emergency.
Clear prop.
We have been able to fly missionary families across Cameroon, saving days of difficult travel. Another important use of the airplanes is that of flying missions teams out to the bush for the purpose of preaching the gospel. One team came for the purpose of teaching believers how to preach the gospel, and we were able to transport them to the bush in Akoya. Many people put their trust in Christ during this outreach. Another team came for the purpose of medical and dental work. They were accompanied by preachers and soul winners. The Lord used one of these opportunities to start the Amanaville Bible Baptist Church in Akoya. Pastor Needham and Pastor Felix had spent many years preaching the gospel in this village. At the conclusion of this medical outreach, 10 souls who had earlier trusted in Christ as their Savior were baptized by Pastor Felix. What a joy to see this work begun. Teaching in the Fundamental Bible Institute was a great blessing to me. As we came to Cameroon, I was able to teach a class to a great group of young preachers who soon graduated from the Institute. Pray for them as they preach the word throughout Cameroon. Pray also for more students to enroll in the Bible Institute for preparation to serve the Lord.
We as your servants now serve.
The opportunities for service in Cameroon are overwhelming and seem to be endless for those willing to join in the work. Would you pray if God might be calling you to come over to Cameroon for a short trip or for your life's work? Would you continue to pray and give to the Lord's work in Cameroon, West Africa? Thank you for your support in reaching this great country of Cameroon for the Lord Jesus Christ.
Good morning to everybody. I just wanted to say a thank you to Pastor Wilt for letting us stop in this morning and share the mission field of Cameroon. It's been on our hearts since 2004 or so, and God allowed us to move there in 2009. My wife and I have been missionaries there since that time. We planted a church on the English side where we can share this verse very freely with people. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God, he been like people them for grong. So te e give ye one pikin. Say any man way put heart for ye, he no go loss, but he go get life. Life where he no go finish. And that life that doesn't finish, eternal life, is what we've been able to present to people in English and Pidgin for the last 7 years. Unfortunately, for the last few years, the country has been embroiled in a number of problems. Cameroon, for years, has just been kind of under the radar. Don't hear about it hardly for any reason. Back in 2014 or so, Boko Haram moved in from Nigeria to Chad to Cameroon and has just been wreaking havoc in the two northern states of Cameroon along with those other countries. Thousands have died by their hand. Many terrorist acts are being committed against the population there. Missionaries had to leave that area. Some were kidnapped, which made the news a number of years ago and released. But the two northern states are kind of off limits for traditional missions, if you will. Then a couple of years ago, the two English regions, right where we came home on furlough. And while we were gone, the country sunk into what is now known as a secessionist movement. The two English states are tired of the French government that controls them as a majority. Their rights are trampled on. There are complaints, and the lawyers and teachers went on strike against the government, and the government responded with force. And then the general population rose up and had been This had been boiling over for years, and finally came to a head. And so the two English regions, last year you may have heard about Brother Charles Wesco, our newest co-worker, was shot and killed in a crossfire between the government and the rebels. And so that has kind of closed the doors for where we are, where we were. And so we were seeking the Lord's will last fall, not sure what to do. We were ready to go back, but couldn't go back because the country that's open, the 6 regions out of the 10 that are open, they're all French-speaking. And at that time, we didn't know any French. So God has allowed us to begin learning French for the last 6 months on our own. And this December, Lord willing, we'd like to transfer to Quebec City, Canada with our 4 kids and with another missionary coworker family of ours and begin learning French in the University of Quebec City. And so we would ask you this morning, one of our goals is just that you would pray for us as we learn French. We're really asking that God would provide a homeschool teacher for our kids so that my wife can study with me. Pray for the brethren in Cameroon. I just met with the pastor and deacons of the church that we started a couple months ago. I took a trip there. And they're doing well. They are taking it day to day. Their safety is in question every single day. But they're continuing faithful. And I just would ask that you pray for them, that God would keep them. Some of our friends have been killed in the war, and friends of our friends. And so we would just ask that you pray for peace for Cameroon. And pray for the open doors in the French side would continue. There's doubts about that, according to some. But it's our burden to get back there next year. So would you pray for the country? Pray for our family. And we are just thrilled to be God's servants in that corner of the world. The whole world needs the gospel. I can't go everywhere. You can't go everywhere. But you can go where God wants you to go. And that's where we believe our heart is. Our heart has been there for many years and trying to seek a way to get back there. And if God doesn't want us back, he can close the door and redirect. But Lord willing, we'll be heading back with a new language, French. So pray much for us and pray for our kids, our family, and for God's will in our life. Pray that we continue to be fruitful and see churches started on the needy French side of Cameroon. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Dave? All right. Thank you, brother. Appreciate that. And if you've got your Bibles, go ahead and turn. We're going to have, it, of course, it'll be abbreviated, but turn to Proverbs chapter 22. Brother Wilt had called me, or Pastor had called me this week and let me know that we're going to be having missionaries in. And then yesterday, we weren't exactly sure when in the service was. Last night, let me know it's going to be in Sunday school. And so I kind of changed up a little bit. Lesson-wise, and so what we're going to do today, and we're going to talk very quickly about some things, just as a reminder of what our life is, and it kind of ties in, of course, with missions, but it's not just with missions, really, it's about God's work and about our life, and some of this material you probably have heard before, but I think it's good for us to be a reminder. I taught something similar to this in 2016. You won't remember, so it won't matter. Don't act like, oh, yeah, I remember that. So I know you're lying then, and we've got a big altar, so we could support a lot of you. So, some of it may be familiar to you, but I do hope that it's a good reminder for us. And again, thank you to all the visitors that are here. I've got some friends of mine that are here, and which is actually amazing that they're friends of mine because they actually work with my brother. And so for them to come here at all and talk to me is amazing. But I'm glad that the Fossmores are here and appreciate y'all being here. So Proverbs chapter 22, it's a very familiar verse. Let's just read it and we'll springboard from there, all right? In Proverbs chapter 22 in verse number 1, it says, "A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold." Let me read it again. "A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold." The interesting thing, Brother Tyler called me this morning, and of course he does the YouTube and the Facebook and everything. He said, "Hey, I need a title for your lesson." I said, "Well, I don't really title my lessons." And he said, "Well, I need something to put on there." And so I thought about it, and really what we came up with is this is just would be the title is Your Life Sentence. Your Life Sentence. And in Proverbs 22 in verse 1, it reminds us a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. It's interesting because in the Bible, if you start going through the Bible and you read through the Old Testament or some in the New Testament, many times God sums up someone's life in one sentence. In 1 Kings chapter 15, you don't have to turn there, but in 1 Kings chapter 15 verse 11, it said, "And Asa did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, as did David his father." Asa's kingdom, his rule, encompass many, many things, but God summed it up in one sentence. He did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. In verse 25 of that same chapter in 1 Kings, it says, Nadab, the son of Jeroboam, began to reign over all Israel in the second year of Asa, king of Judah, and reigned over Israel 2 years. And here's how he summarized his life. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord and walked in the way of his father and in his sin wherewith he made Israel to sin. So your life can be summed up in a life sentence. Now you think about it. I'm 41 years old. Many of you, we've all got different ages. But whenever it comes down to it, one day our life will be summed up in a sentence. In a sentence. And because of that, I think it's important for us to begin thinking now about what that sentence is going to be consisting of. What is it going to mean for us? And you can choose now what your life story is. You can. Now, in the end, you can't do it. There's a lot of people who they reach the end of their life with a lot of regret. And there's a reason for that. It's because they didn't make the choice now on how their life was going to read. And so I want to look at a couple of things. In Psalms chapter 90 and verse 12, it says, "So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." And whenever David says those things, and you know, the purpose of us realizing the frailty of our life and everything that's going on there, in all honesty, the purpose of that is so that we can apply wisdom. So we can apply wisdom. And applying wisdom to our life, and reflection and meditation implies we apply wisdom to our life. And so what God wants us to do is he wants us to stop and to think about our life in view of eternity. That's what it is. Your life sentence. So what we need two different things. We need a godly perspective of our life, and then we need a godly priorities for our life. If we'll have those two things, if we'll have those two things, and whenever it comes time for our life to be summed up, I think we'll be happy with the way our life is summed up. If we skip on those two things, it doesn't matter how good of a person you are, it doesn't matter how much you tried, it doesn't even matter how long you may live, then we'll regret how our life is summed up. And our life sentence will be that. So the godly perspective for our life. Unfortunately, whenever you look at the Bible, then our life is mentioned quite a bit in God's Word. However, it's probably not going to be that encouraging. It's really not. You know why? Because whenever you study the Bible, then God tells us that our life is brief. Our life is brief. You know, the longer I live, the more I realize that most of us, all of mankind, whether it's in the continent of Africa, whether it's here in the United States, all of our lives have very similar problems. People are just people. And we struggle with relationships, and we struggle with trusting, and we struggle with all kinds of emotions. There's all kinds of things that we do. And so we struggle with these things, and the truth is that our life is brief. In James chapter 4 and verse 14, part of verse 14 says, "For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." In Psalms 39 and verse 4, it says, "Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am." Basically, the Bible reminds us that we should not assume that we're going to live for a long time. That's what the reminder is. Now, I realize that's not encouraging, perhaps, but that's still a biblical perspective. You see, we're only here for a certain time. Now, that would be really, really discouraging if you didn't know that you have a soul that's going to live forever. See, this life isn't all there is. It's not all there is. Now, it's all we can see right now, but it is not all there is. And so that's why it's so important for missionaries to go around the world, for us to serve here in our city, is because we understand that everyone here on this planet is going to live for eternity somewhere. Now, whether it's heaven or hell is based on the decisions that they make. It is. It's not on how good they live. It's on the decision of what they will do with Christ. They accept Christ or they reject Christ. And so we understand that life is brief. Another thing that the Bible reminds us is life is difficult. Job chapter 14 and verse number 1. "Man that is born of woman is of a few days and full of trouble." You know what makes life so difficult? You have to live it every day. If you could come to church on a Sunday, and you could come to the altar and you could make a decision for God, and then that decision was just good for the rest of your life, that would be an easy life. The problem is, if God deals with your heart, maybe it's about your attitude, maybe it's about something that you're doing, maybe it's about something you're not doing, whatever it is, and God deals with your heart, and you come to the altar and you say, God, I'm serious about this. I want your help on this. I want to follow you. That is a wonderful day. The problem is, tomorrow morning, whenever you get up, you have to do it again. If it's about something that you're not doing, let's say it's about not reading your Bible, then tomorrow morning, whenever you wake up, then you've got to get your Bible or an app on your phone, and you've got to start reading it. And then Tuesday, you have to do the same thing. And then Wednesday, you have to do the same thing. What makes life difficult is that it has to be lived daily. You know, we've said it before, you know, the days are long, but the years are short. The days are long, but the years are short. You think back about whenever this brother started on deputation. I guarantee you, if he's been in the country for 7 years, then he probably thinks, man, it seems like just yesterday whenever I started that. But the days are long, right? It's a lot of stress, a lot of pressure, a lot of things that go on there. You deal with the same thing. If you look at all these kids that are growing up, my goodness, I saw Trevor's got a birthday this month. And I remember Trevor whenever he's little bitty, you know, and I think, man, where's the time gone? You know, all of these kids that are growing up, and the days are long, but the years are short. And so because of that, we need to be very, very conscious of what we're making decisions about every day. And then, thirdly, the Bible reminds us that our life is like a book. In Matthew chapter 12, it says, "But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment." Every idle word. Now, I talk a lot, so that really makes me nervous. Some of you, Mike Mueller, he's probably not sweating it that much. However, me, I'm in trouble because there's a lot of idle words, a lot of idle words. But that's what the Bible reminds us. Our life is like a book. We ought to be careful about what we do. We ought to be careful about what we do. It's a biblical perspective of what God's got. Here's a quote that I read in a leadership book that I really, really like. And I think it gives us a little bit of an idea, hopefully, of what our life is supposed to read like. It says, "Your life is like a book. The title page is your name, the preference, your introductions to the world. The pages are a daily record of your efforts, trials, pleasures, discouragements, and achievements. Day by day, your thoughts and actions are being inscribed in your book of life. When your book is finished, let it be said that your book is a record of noble purpose, generous service, and work well done." So the question would be, how's your book look so far? If someone was reading your book, how would it read? A tragedy? A book you wouldn't want anyone else to read? Or something you say, you know what? From the start, I can see where God began working in me. I'm not finished. I'm not perfect. But I can see where God has began to make a work and an effort in my life. And I can see where God has led me from chapter to chapter and is making me conforming to the image of his son. And then lastly, the biblical perspective is that life compounds. Life compounds. Whenever I do financial seminars, whenever I sit down and talk to people, we always talk about one of the most powerful forces on earth is compounding interest. Well, the truth is, compounding happens whether we mean for it or not. Now, a lot of people, you know the power of compounding interest if you have used a credit card and not paid for it. Now, there's a positive side of compounding interest if you're in savings, but there's also a negative if you go in debt. And interest compounds all the time. And the truth is, every decision that you make from today will compound. I think about the story, my family story, and you guys may have something that's similar that's in your life, or you may be a first-generation Christian, but my grandfather was the first one to get saved in my family's life. My great-grandfather was adopted into the Brown family, and my grandfather, his name was Audie Brown. That's an odd name, but that's what his name was, Audie Brown. And he got saved. He wanted to date my grandmother, and she wouldn't date him unless he went to church with her. So he went to church. And whenever he sat in church, then he became under conviction, went forward, got saved, and then eventually surrendered to preach and became a pastor. He was pretty rough, and in fact, he was the first Christian that ever walked into my great-grandfather's house. My great-grandfather was about 40 or 41 whenever my grandfather got saved. And eventually, my great-grandfather got saved. All of my my grandfather's brothers got saved. And our family tree changed. It changed completely. They were very, very rough. Our family was in North Arkansas. And began, I'm not saying they're not still rough, but they're Christians anyway. So that's what, yeah, they're Baptists. They're deacons. And so that gives you an idea how rough they are. So that's what, that's the way that the family tree, of course, then, my father, became a pastor. I've got an uncle that's a pastor. My brother was a pastor, and, our family tree has changed completely thanks to God making a difference in one person's life. And the truth is decisions compound. Some of you, you may be the first generation, and it may be 20 or 30 years from now before you see that your children and your grandchildren are in church and serving God. Can I tell you, those decisions compound. But they also go the other way. There's some people who get hurt, offended, bothered by something in church, and they get out of church altogether. It's not too long before you see that same effect. Their children get out of church. Their grandchildren don't go to church. And they have no concern for God or God's things. And the truth is, things compound. Things compound. So our decisions, a godly perspective, is that life compounds. Now here's what we've got in just a few minutes. So because things compound, what should we be doing to make our life or our life sentence one that would be pleasing to God? Now that would be our godly priorities. If you set the right priorities, then what compounds will be a positive, not a negative. And so because of that, the godly priorities for our life. The tragedy of life is not that it ends too soon, but that many of us wait too long to begin it. That's really what runs into. We're so consumed with whatever the little things in our life are that we forget about what's so important in our life, and that's what the tragedy is now. How many people on their deathbed wish that they had done more for Christ, but don't even think about what they're doing for Christ today? Don't wait until it's your deathbed before you make that decision. Decide today what your life is going to read like. So here's just a few things, priorities that we can set. Today, we can live life fully. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 10, "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest." It's the truth. You're at church today. Here in just a little bit, we're going to dismiss and we'll come back for a service. And whatever we do, we're going to have a worship time. We're going to have a time that we can give. We're going to have a time to listen to the message from Pastor Wilt. And whenever that happens, God may deal with your heart. You know what a lot of us are going to struggle with? During the worship time, we're going to not sing out because it's going to be based on what everyone else does around us. Whenever it comes time to listen to the message, even if God does speak to our heart, whenever it comes time for an invitation, a lot of us, we won't respond because of what everyone's doing around us. You know what this verse reminds us? Look, all we've got is today. Whatever you're doing, do it with all your might. If God's given you a job and you show up there, well, hopefully, maybe your work gives you off on Monday, but if it doesn't, but if you show up to work tomorrow, you know what you ought to do? You ought to work hard at your job. That's what you ought to do. Anything that you've got given to do, you ought to do it with all your might. Because if not, you'll look back with regret. You ever had a day that you really didn't get anything accomplished? Now, it might be restful, but you got nothing accomplished. You know what that self-worth you feel at the end of the day? Man, today I really did nothing. Now, for a few days, that's nice, right? That's a vacation. Rest, recreation, recharging. But man, after a month of that, you'd be miserable. You'd be miserable. It begins, psychologically, it begins to mess with you. There's all kinds of things. And so the truth is, the Bible reminds us of priorities. Live life fully. God has given you a life, and we're responsible to be stewards. That's what we're responsible for. That means that you're responsible to live the life that God has given you. Don't ever apologize for that. Don't feel bad because God has given you a wonderful family or a wonderful life, any of those things. Just handle it well. Handle it well. Because obviously, God has given it to you for a purpose. And so live life fully. Then secondly, live life thankfully. Life isn't tied with a bow, but it is a gift. And eternal life is the greatest gift of all. So why wouldn't you share it with other people? Live life thankfully. We've got a lot to be thankful for. I don't have time to go into all of it, but the Bible reminds us of how important it is that we are thankful, and our attitude of gratitude is what it is. There's a book called Thank You Power, and I wish I had time to read some excerpts out of that, but can I tell you, you can change your life. You can change your life by adding gratitude to it. I'm not talking about just a little bit of your life. I'm talking about tremendously by just living with gratitude in your heart. So Bob Jones Sr. said that whenever the flower of gratitude dies on the altar of a man's heart, that man is well nigh gone. Gratitude and thankfulness is a key part of our life. And God teaches us that in many, many verses. We don't have time to turn to them, but I want you to remember the priorities of your life, not only to live it fully, but to live life thankfully. Then also the Bible reminds us to live life faithfully. Live life faithfully. You know what's interesting about faithfulness? It's something that everyone in here can do. And it's not talent-based. It's not education-based. It's not based on anything. Even on your health, it's not based on that at all. You can be faithful. You can be faithful. And God reminds us of that one. There's no God expects every man to be faithful. But here's the interesting thing. He promises to bless that man. In Proverbs, he reminds us, a faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. Then fourthly, the priorities that we ought to have, we ought to live life thoughtfully. The question is what is your purpose on earth? What is your purpose on earth? Now, a lot of times what we want to do is we want to have some great purpose that we can't accomplish for years and years and years, but the truth is we only have today. We only have today. So rather than worrying about whether or not God is going to, like this brother here, he's not sure whether or not he can get into these French-speaking countries or what's going to happen on those things, but you know what he can do? He can visit Grace Baptist Church today. He can present his ministry today. He can go and he can learn French today. And then whenever God opens that door, he can walk through it. A lot of times we want to wait until we're completely prepared and know what's going on before we're going to act. And if you wait on the opportunity to present itself before you prepare for the opportunity, you've missed it. You've missed it. So we ought to live life thoughtfully. So as a Christian, what should we be doing? The truth is, we know that we ought today, we can share the gospel with someone. Today, we can love someone. Today, we can worship God. So you know what we ought to do? Today we ought to do those things. Let's prepare for what God has for us tomorrow by making the right choices today. So the question is, how will your life be remembered? Whenever we're older and we reflect back on what we did with the gift of life, what will we say? It will be important then to us what our life will be. Why not make it important now? Whenever it comes down to summarizing our life in one sentence, you realize that if you're a Christian and you serve God, God will summarize your life in one sentence. Think about it in the New Testament. He reminded us, whenever it came down to it, that one day, and our hope as a Christian would be that whenever we see God, that he would say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's your life in one sentence. Your life in one sentence. There'll be some who will make an effort. They'll try to live their life as close to what they think that they should do, but not really serving God. And you know what he'll say? "Depart from me, I never knew you. You workers of iniquity, I never knew you." And so because it comes down to those two things, why don't we live our life today and be summarized by God on that? I know it's only been about 20 minutes, but I hope that what it's done is it's made us think just a little bit about how important it is to be intentional today. To be intentional today. And if we'll do that, I believe that the end of our life will be greater than the beginning of our life. So our prayer. All right, let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come to you, Lord, I know it just a brief lesson, Lord, but I hope that your Holy Spirit, Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would take some of these thoughts, Lord, and just convict our heart, Lord. Lord, all of us, Lord, can do more for you. Lord, all of us, Lord, can align our life closer to you. And so I pray that you would do the work that we can't do. Lord, I pray that in this next service, Lord, that this message, Lord, that you had Brother Wilt prepare, Lord, that it would speak to our hearts, Lord, and today we'd make a difference, Lord, that we'd make a decision, Lord, to change our life, Lord, improve our church, improve our community, Lord, and it would please you. Lord, thank you for those visitors that are here today. I pray that you bless them, Lord, give us a good service here in the next hour. We ask all this in your name. Amen.